Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast contains strong language and adult themes from the outset. Angie.
Good morning, Patois.
It's been quite the week, hasn't it?
Oh, hasn't it? Hasn't it? Honestly, I still can't quite believe what's happened in this past week.
I know. It's been really sad, I think.
Oh, so sad.
Did you hear Williams' like tribute? It was so lovely.
I've heard Williams, and today I've also heard Harry has released a statement, and his is also like such a beautiful statement that he's written.
That's lovely.
For his grandmother.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's really it's kind of moved me the most, actually, is how human the royal family have appeared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, sometimes I think they are, you know, they're kind of, you know, they're royalty, they're monarchs, they're, you know, and there's all these kind of rules and regulations that they have to stick to, and how they behave, and things that they are allowed to say and can't say. And I think this week I have really noticed the really human side to them, whether that's Charles or William, Harry or Princess Anne, or just this feeling of we are a family and we have lost somebody who was such a massive part of who we are.
The matriarch of their family, without question. Without question. I think as well, for me, it's that I've just been really struck that, you know, I think the death of your mum or a parent, if you're close to your parents, or, you know, whoever you lived with, whoever raised you, I suppose, but that is such a poignant death. Other than your partner or losing a child, there's something about your parents, if you are privileged enough to have a good relationship with them, that is so poignant. And for me, 24 hours later, what was Charles having to do? Sit before the nation and talk about his mum as a leader, as somebody who led the Commonwealth. Talk about his mum as somebody who people had public access to. Talk about his mum as the public figure that she was, when actually probably all he wanted to do was talk about his mum as his mum. And, you know, I think whenever we're dealing with or managing grief, we want to talk about those people that we've lost. And to have to do that so publicly in such a formal setting and talk about her as, he obviously called her mama a couple of times, but to talk about her as the queen. When actually he's got deeply personal moments and memories with his mum.
So much. I
that's what struck me. And I think it's, you know, it's been quite polarizing, hasn't it, publicly? And I think I saw a wonderful thing on social media that just said you can be moved and saddened by the death of somebody, but still not always like what they, you know, historically stood for. And I know the royal family have stood for things historically that have been difficult for people to manage, and I haven't agreed with every single thing the royal family have done, but I've been deeply moved and saddened by somebody who served our country for 70 years. And I don't think we could have let this episode go without, you know, mentioning that it's been a difficult week. Yeah. And if you're finding it tough and you're finding it, you know, you're feeling heavy and you're finding it really sad, she's been a very consistent figure for our country all our lives, Ange. Like, and for both of us, our lives.
We have not known anything else. And that, and I think that's for so many people because of the length of time she was the queen.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, it's times like this that sometimes kind of brings up your own grief in other ways, isn't it? You know, it's people that are going, oh, it makes me think about losing my mum or my grandma, or you know, people in our own lives that have that we've lost. And I think anything like this, it just does stir up those emotions. And
you know who I've thought about a lot this past week? Our Auntie Joy, who we lost, you know, a few years ago now. And and I would have probably said for us, she was probably the matriarch of our family. You know, she, like for our mum, she was somebody that she went to with a lot of stuff. She was sort of the steadying hand often. She was quite often the peacemaker, was you know, the one that people probably took a lot of their stuff to without the other siblings knowing, you know. And I've thought about her a lot this week and thought about what it was like when we lost her. And that's the thing, isn't it? The queen is the queen, but she's somebody's mother and grandmother and auntie and great auntie and friend and sister. And, you know, it does stir up those things in you yourself that have perhaps been difficult to manage. But we couldn't start this episode without acknowledging the week that it's been. And just to say, Charles is my favourite monarch because he's already given us a bank holiday. So long live the king.
Yes, Charlie.
Yes, he's already come out. The first thing he did was give us a bank holiday. So he will forever be my favourite monarch.
Especially when just a couple of weeks ago we were saying how
we don't have one.
This is a shit time because we don't have any bank holidays now.
Charles now goes top of the I mean, that's all he's done so far. But
you know, we've got to wait and see what else he can bring about.
But for me,
for now,
well done.
Well done, Charlie.
Well done.
Yeah. I also just have to say,
yes,
The thing that's also really struck me this week is the Queen's smile.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen pictures of her smiling and it has made me smile.
Have you seen that video where she's looking at something and these cows walk past and you see her go, cows!
And she's so excited. So happy about the cows. And I just think it is that weird mix of feelings of kind of the sadness of losing someone like her who's just this absolutely constant in so many people's lives, and then seeing like pictures and videos and things that I've never seen before, pictures of her as so young and I just think it really struck me
by is, honestly, I know this is such a stupid thing to say, but just how posh they are.
Oh god, they are
like you can't even do
it in the same way
accent. It's like you're taught it, aren't you? Because even if you go into very very posh, you still don't sound like
it's
the queen.
It's not like that, is it?
No. So yeah, we wanted to just acknowledge it at the top of the show, but into the episode now, we are joined by the wonderful Laura Adlington. So this week, we are exceptionally excited to welcome one half of the Go Love Yourself podcast, the baker extraordinaire, Freddie's Cake herself. Give it up for Laura Adlington!
Woohoo!
Get in.
Hello!
Get in, Laura. And we have to
excited to come on.
Right from the top, we've had a good half an hour of tech issues this morning.
At least half an hour, yeah.
And the reason we only have one half of the podcast is because, unfortunately, we couldn't sort out the tech issues with Lauren.
No.
No.
So, yes, this is Go Love Yourself, half of
it's
team.
Just me today. Half I'm so sorry. On behalf of Lauren, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But hey, I'll try and be really funny and eloquent and it'll be great.
You will. Do you know what? You're going to be that good. We'll be going, sorry, who's Lauren?
Who's Lauren?
Lauren who?
Lauren who?
No, we're chuffed you're here. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on. Obviously, Ange and I came on your podcast
a few weeks ago. We loved it.
So you can find Go Love Yourself wherever you get your podcasts. It's really, really, really brilliant and definitely worth a listen. So go and check them out. But Laura, we do have some questions for you. Now, if you don't know, we like a jingle here at Finding the Funny.
We often
write our own. And sometimes we even perform them live. So Ange, if I could hand over to you, could you take us into segment, please?
Absolutely, yes. No way. At all. I've been warming up this morning, so should be good to go. Okay, here we go. Le big question. That was actually quite good, wasn't it, this morning? That's a really good one.
Lauren's got the laughy coughs.
Was that it?
That's it. That's our jingle. Was that it for the Le Big Questions? That is our jingle.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I mean, I was expecting a bit more, but Laura, fine.
you've just totally knocked me off my feet there with is that it? I've been warming up since 7 o'clock this morning.
I didn't know what to say then.
It was beautiful. No, I was just expecting to start a little bit.
Something more. Basically was like, Laura, you've knocked me off my feet then.
Yes.
I was actually like, I didn't even really know how to articulate how I felt.
I'm sorry. It was beautiful. And you can tell that you can sing.
Thank you.
You've got a cracking voice.
Thank you. Okay, you've clawed it back now, Laura.
Okay, good.
Thanks. Okay. Okay, so the first question we had in for you, Laura, came from Sam on Gram. And she says, how do you think you gain and maintain body confidence?
I think, right, so I absolutely hate using the word journey, but like, there's literally no other word for it, is there?
No.
Is there? I think it is a process, and I would say that it is definitely, definitely not something that comes overnight. Certainly for me, it kind of came with like age and like time and like kind of, I did also like a lot of research around diet culture and beauty standards. And I realized like there's literally a $70 billion industry at play,
yes,
to make us feel like shit about ourselves.
Yeah.
And when you, and I'm a bit of a rebel in some respects, right? So when I thought about that, I thought, nah, do you know what? I'll wear makeup if I want to wear makeup, and I will do things like beauty stuff if I want to do it, but I'm not doing it because I feel like I have to. And I think I spent my whole life on a diet feeling not good enough. And I just got to a point where I just realized that I could be dead tomorrow. And do I want to go out? Do I want to get off the bus wasting what precious time I have on this earth worrying that I don't look like a Kardashian? Yeah. Or a Victoria's Secret model. I don't. And I thought, no, I don't. There is so much more to life. And if anything, I look back now and I think, oh, the years I wasted on Slimming World and worrying about what I look like. And you know what? Yes, I probably could be a bit healthier. I could move a bit more. I could eat a little bit less. But I love my food and I really love my life. And there is just more to life. So I think that, and you know, taking the whole like body neutrality approach, I really like that a lot.
What do you mean body neutrality? I've never heard that term.
Oh, okay, sorry. So like body positivity was like kind of started in like the 60s, and mm-hmm. it was a group of women, black, fat, queer, disabled women. So basically talking about like they were like the voice for people in marginalized bodies, right?
Yes.
And yeah. then the body positivity movement kind of became commercialized in like, I don't know, kind of 2010, mm-hmm. 2015, that kind of it like time when mm-hmm. brands decided that it was like profitable and, you know, they could make money off it,
yes.
basically.
Yeah.
And then that's when you got a lot of like influencers and people doing the whole body positive thing, mm. saying, love yourself as you are, love your rolls, love your fat, all of that. Personally, I don't think it's realistic to like love how you look every day. I certainly don't. I don't. But with the body neutral or neutrality approach, it's more about focusing on what your body can do for you. Ah. So it's like, rather than worrying about the fact that you have maybe like fat legs, it's like, okay, my legs are fat, but they get me from A to B.
Yes.
My arms, like I've got bingo wings, but actually that means that I can like eat chocolate and bring chocolate to my face. I'm joking. It means that you can kind of like, yeah, you can do things with them. So it's about focusing on what your body can do,
yes.
and about just saying we all have a body.
Mm.
Let's not worry so much about what it looks like. Yeah.
Okay. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah. It's kind of, I suppose it's like newish.
Yeah.
But yeah. That movement has really helped me kind of focus less on, yeah, what I look like and just kind of, yeah, I think become more at peace with my body.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so true, that thing of just being at peace with who you are, what you look like, not really caring too much about the size that's put in, you know, the item of clothing you're going to buy. As long as you feel good in it, it just does not matter at all. So, yeah, I think
yeah, that whole thing of just, yeah, feeling more at peace with yourself is
it's
is
interesting
key.
Actually, because that leads on to one of the other questions we had, which was around, is there any part of yourself that you don't love? But I think what you're saying is it's less about kind of crowbarring yourself into loving your body and more about saying my body is just that. It's the thing that carries me from A to B. It's the thing that means I can, you know, do the things that I do, rather yeah. than I've got to love every single segment, every single patch. I've got to tell myself I've got to love everything about me.
So yeah, I mean, there's definitely parts of my body that I do dislike. And I think I grew up, as I'm sure did you, with people like Trini and Suzanne are telling us about problem areas. So like, yeah. I think that even if you didn't have one, you sort of yeah. felt like you had to have
one. You had to find one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't particularly like my stomach because I have an apron and I like my fupa. I don't love.
What? Say yeah. that again. What?
I feel like this is an education
You've
for you.
What's an apron in a fupa?
So an apron is like where you have like your stomach kind of like has like it's like there's like you have a big belly basically. Yeah. So you have an apron as in like it like rolls over like
so
your.
They call it an apron.
They call it an apron.
I am learning so much yeah, this morning.
It can be called an apron. And the bigger you are, generally,
the more,
like,
of, an apron
the
you
more
have.
Of an apron that you have.
Right.
And then the fupa is a. Is
no, no. What's a fupa?
It's called a fat upper pussy area.
Oh, like a gunt.
Yes, like a gunt.
That's what I know it
with
as.
A gunt. Yeah, yeah. I think fupa must just be like the modern.
That's what I know it as. I didn't know it was also called a. What is it? A fupu?
A fupa.
Fupa. Yeah. Fat fupa. Upper pussy what?
Area.
Fat upper pussy area.
Yeah, fat upper pussy area.
One of Angie's friends once, when they were around someone's house on a night out, just said out of nowhere, no context or anything, they weren't talking about this, and she just said, I really think I've put weight on my vagina.
What did you even say to that?
Out of nowhere. They were talking about, like, you know, what they'd done last weekend or something, and she just did a massive sigh. I really feel like I've put weight on my vagina.
I think my fanny's put weight on. And, you know, let's just... I mean, I was actually out with this particular friend on Saturday night, my friend Tara, who is an absolute... bloody gem, and
she's amazing,
so funny without even really trying or really realizing it sometimes. And she will just come out with these. I mean, she was even saying on Saturday night, she was actually talking about her gunt or her fupa, whatever it is you want to call it. She was just like saying, oh, you know, I've got such a gunt at the moment, and you know, she just kind of comes out with all that these like but at the same, I mean, like, we actually ended up having quite a deep conversation, which is quite unusual for... Actually, no, it's not. No, I'm taking that back. We do talk about some deep shit sometimes.
Okay.
I'm taking it back.
A little conversation with yourself there.
Yes.
I'm glad to be a part of it.
Like to do that. But yeah, we actually got into quite... Because when she was sort of saying about, oh, you know, I've just... And she's just started on some HRT. Well, not just for a little while, she's been on HRT. I think she's really found that it's helped with lots of symptoms, but it's also meant she has put a bit more weight on, and she puts weight on a lot easier, and, you know, all of those things that come with any sort of hormonal changes. And I was saying to her, I said, Tara, I said, I actually coined the phrase that you quite like to say on your podcast, Laura. What you look like is the least interesting thing about you, Tara. I said, you are so funny. You bring such a great energy with you. You are the loveliest person. You do, you know, all the things that were Tara, and none of them were related to what she looked like. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, whether you've got a gunt or a fupa or an apron or any of the other shit that we like to label ourselves with, like, that is the least interesting thing. And I'm like, thank God it's the least interesting thing. Because if it's just about what I look like, then I'm going to be pretty shit.
But also, like, that's never I just think it's a bit boring if that is your...
If that's all you've got.
Yeah, if that's all you can bring to the like to the table. And I think, I don't want to stereotype, but you do find that a lot.
Yes.
I mean, especially growing up, we had like a group of girls in sixth form called the Plastics, who were absolute bunch of cunts, honestly. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, you have
Let's
now.
Let's call them a bunch of gunts.
Bunch of gunts. So the girls in the sixth form, so they were an absolute bunch of gunts, and and but they just rested on pretty.
Exactly.
And I do find that I think when you are, especially like, I don't know if like you've ever found this, but I've always been bigger, and I think I've always had to like, I don't know, like try a bit harder, like, and I think I'm that's one other thing that I'm probably going off a tangent here, but I'm trying to really unlearn as I've gotten older, is I don't have to make extra special effort just because I'm fat. Like, I don't have to be the funny one.
No,
I don't have to be like the really empathetic, the caring one, the mum, the maternal figure, just because I'm bigger. I've always had to, I felt like I had to overcompensate, but in a way it's kind of good, because it, like, if you know, you can't always rest on pretty. We're all we're all gonna get old and saggy at some point.
Exactly.
So I think yeah, in a way, it was probably not the worst thing in the world. But I suppose there's a balance to be had, isn't there?
Exactly. Everything is about balance. Or as I like to call it, balance.
Balance. I actually can't balance because I'm dyspraxic. So.
Oh, me too. I'm dyspraxic.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you actually? Are we the same person?
We're the same person.
I think you are sisters from other misters.
We are. We are. Like, I'm dyspraxic too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This is this mad. Is,
yeah. Patty's, yeah. Her dyspraxia can be quite bad at times.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
She'll fall over thin air.
Yeah,
same. Yeah. I'm
although
terrible.
I think I could be a bit like that as well.
Yeah, I think you've got that vibe.
I've definitely got something there.
The best time that Angie ever fell over was when we left the Brits. We'd come out the Brits. James had hosted. We'd been backstage. She wasn't even pissed. Like, she'd had a couple of glasses of wine.
Yeah,
loads though.
Squiffy.
And we'd come out and we're walking out. Was it at the O2? It was at the O2, wasn't it? And we come out and then literally, bam, she's on the floor. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
She's like, I'm fine. Although I fell up the stairs at the Comedy Awards. That was also classic.
Oh, nice.
And we've both had our fair share of falls,
haven't we?
Yeah.
We had a couple of bake-off questions for you, Laura. And so one of them was like, Jenny asked, when are you going to start baking again? Do you have any plans to like do any more baking? I think people miss it.
Oh, I am going to say, I miss it as well. I'm going to start baking again. I think I've just been so busy with like the other stuff. And then obviously I've got a new puppy now as well. Yeah. So he's been keeping me busy. Plus I feel like in the summer, I think I've got PTSD from being on Bake Off and having to bake
in the heat, boiling tent.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
So now that autumn's come in, I've actually got behind me, I've got a big bag of brownie apples that one of Matt's customers gave to him, and I'm going to do some baking this afternoon. So yes, I'll be back baking.
Brownie apples. Are you going to do pie or crumble?
I'm going to do a bit of both. Yeah.
What about a tarte tan?
I do love a tarte tan, I have
me
to say.
Me too.
Yeah.
No,
pretty fit, isn't it?
You've got to go crumble or pie. Oh, tarte tan is a little bit sort of posh, isn't it?
No, it's
no,
so
mate.
Good.
It's so, well, if you're going to make your own puff pastry, then I mean, good luck. See you in 7 hours.
Yeah.
But honestly, even Paul Hollywood said to me when we were filming, he was like, I don't know why anyone makes their own puff pastry.
Why would you bother?
Why are you dicking around with that?
Just go and buy the Just Roll. Just Roll's amazing.
Just Roll. Brilliant. Yeah.
I would agree with that. Good. And then the other question that was Bake Off based came from Lindsay on the Gram, and she said, what were your best and worst parts of Bake Off?
Oh, good question. Best part. I think this is going to sound really, I don't know if this sounds big-headed or not, I hope not, but I winning Star Baker for me was like,
I can imagine that's
really special.
That's not big-headed at all. That is just bloody amazing.
Yeah, that was a real highlight for pastry week as well, because obviously pastry is like so quite technically challenging.
Yes.
And I was really proud of that bake. So it's like a key lime tart with ginger pastry and Italian meringue. And that was what I took to my first audition. And that's the bake that I bake all my family, like my dad and my brother go nuts for it. So I was, that was like a real like, oh my God, I deserve to be here, which I think I've struggled with before and definitely after that moment. So that was a real highlight. And I think the low definitely for me, I had quite a few lows, to be honest. I cried a lot. I found it really challenging because just being away from home in the heat. I think it was the semi-final and the technical challenge. We had to make some kind of horn thing.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. It was like a French horn thing.
Is it like a horn of plenty?
Yeah, I think that was it. I think I blocked it out of my brain on purpose. I don't know if it's a dyspraxic brain, but I don't have any kind of logic. And to the point where like my husband Matt will be like, oh, you just, if I have to assemble anything or do anything logical, I just switch off and I actually get angry because I'm like, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. And then I really, really broke down after that. And so, yeah, that was probably the lowest point for me.
Also, the thing that Bake Off was due to start this week. I don't know if it's going to, because there was talk of things being postponed because obviously, sadly, the Queen died last week. But if it was to start this week, the thing that I always, when I watch Bake Off, I love baking. I absolutely love making cakes and cheesecakes and all that stuff. But how do you cool it down?
So this is the thing. So with baking, like, you have to cool things really slowly and at room temperature.
Which you just
and
I can't think do,
that's where we all of us struggled. It wasn't just me. So you had to you get a cake out the oven, you let it cool for 5 minutes, and then we had to put it in the freezer. And so if it wasn't, even if it was wasn't cooked by 30 seconds, you've then got a very dense, basically raw cake.
Yeah.
So yeah, freezer was your best friend in those kind of circumstances. But that was the trickiest thing, was the cooling time. Because obviously when I make cakes as well, I freeze all of my cakes. So if I make a birthday cake and I do buttercream or ganache on the outside, I freeze them all because it's just so much easier.
So you don't freeze them with you just freeze the sponge.
Yeah, freeze the sponge, wrap it in cling film, and then stack it. Yeah, and it's so much easier.
I mean, I'm not a baker, Laura. I just think I'm just actually shit at it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I just
she
can't.
She's a really good cook. She is a really good cook.
I can see that about you.
And she's really good. And she makes brilliant, she makes a great lasagna, great chili, amazing curry, banging roast. She is a really good cook.
Yeah.
But when she makes cakes, they're always just a bit shit. They don't really rise, actually.
They don't.
And the thing is, with baking, it is an exact science, isn't it, Laura? You have to take time over it. You want to get
air
into it.
That's my problem. I think I just go, oh, a bit of that, bit of that, bit of that. Great. Yeah. Chuck it in. Oh, shit. No, that's really bad.
You can't do that. That's what makes you a good cook, but that's what makes you a not so great baker.
Yeah. Are you a good cook as well, Laura? Would you say you can cook and bake? Or do you think people tend to fall into sort of one or the other?
I think, yeah, generally people do. I think it's weird. I think I actually prefer cooking now
because
I like the slapdash of it, oh, let's add a bit of that, add a bit of this.
Yeah.
Also, and me and Reedy, we were talking about this at the weekend, weren't we? But I'm obsessed with MasterChef. I just love
it. Oh, I love a MasterChef.
Absolutely love MasterChef.
So I think I do get the one thing for me, though, and you'll probably agree with this because I think everyone's has the same problem, is just that, what should we have for dinner?
Thinking about
what to cook, but I just love food, basically. Any type of food, baking, cooking, eating it is better.
Baking, cooking, and eating. That'll do. Yeah.
And his favourite cake is a coffee and walnut, Laura.
Oh, nice. I'll have to make you one. My Nana Pegs. Well, it's sort of my version of my Nana Pegs recipe. Oh. I have to say, I personally think, I'm going to sound like a big head, but it is. It's the best coffee and walnut cake you will ever, ever have.
That sounds
your
okay, favorite.
Right. We need to. I mean, I know you two met for your Chinese
invited.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you were out. You were out with your borders.
Yes,
crew.
No, yeah. I was not saying that in a derogatory way, Patty.
No.
I love the fact that you met for your Chinese, but I think we probably need to arrange some sort of cake eating event.
Okay. Why don't we both make a coffee and walnut, Laura? And you'll beat me hands down.
We have a cake off.
Are you putting yourself up against Laura for a bake off?
Is Anne going to be Prue and Paul?
Yes. Anne's just going to be Prue and Paul.
Oh my God. Yes. Let's do it.
I'll be Prawl.
You'll be Prawl.
I can come and absolutely be whipped by a Bake Off finalist, but at least I can leave going, well, I lost to a Bake Off finalist.
That's true.
But you can bake, though, Rudy. You can bake.
I do like baking. I do, and I do. I've made you a good colour coffee and walnuts over the years.
Pat, I think your baking is
you know.
Oh, thanks, Ange.
It is. You are a very good baker.
100%. I just love it. I love. Yeah, I really. My mum. I'll never forget when I first made a Victoria sponge, and I served it to Margs, our mum. She was like, "This is brilliant. I can't make a sponge," and I felt so proud of myself. And she kept saying, "Sponges are hard, Ruth. They're hard. They can dry out very quickly. It's very hard." And then I made a chocolate cake, and Ellen, chocolate cake's her favourite, my niece, and she was like, "This is really good." And Mum said again, "Chocolate cakes can be difficult, Ruth. They can dry out very quickly." I was so proud of myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. So there we go.
You need to get on Celeb Bake Off. I'm going to make it happen.
I would love to go on Celebrity Bake Off. Yeah. I would absolutely love to do that show.
That one, I assume you're literally there for like the day or 2 days or whatever, aren't you?
Couple of days filming, yeah.
It's not like what you had to do for your...
No.
How long were you actually there for?
7 weeks. Yeah, nearly eight. Yeah, long time.
Yeah.
Long time. But yeah, the celeb one, they just film. They normally do film it over a weekend, so Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
But you'd be all right, really.
I would absolutely love to do that show.
Yeah.
Do you reckon I'd get a handshake?
Well, yeah, because I'd help you, obviously.
Yeah, this is it. This is perfect. Oh, my God. This is all coming together. Yeah. You could help me. Or I'd just nick a Jane's patisserie recipe and change, like, three things.
Laura could basically be your prep ready for going on, so that as soon as you're on there, you are, like, sorted.
I'd call her my bake-off bitch.
Bake-off bitch, yeah.
Bob.
I'll say that.
Call her Bob. Sorry, I can't come out this evening. I'm seeing
with Bob.
Yeah, I'd love to, but I'm prepping for Celebrity Bake Off.
Yeah, we're going to bake, and then we're going to eat a big Chinese.
Yeah, Channel 4, if you're listening and you'd like somebody to be in the next series of Celebrity Bake Off, I am happy to
get in touch with Laura.
Get in touch with my agent, Laura. Yeah. Well, thanks. That there ends Le Big Questions.
And now, Laura, we are moving into our other little segment that we do, which is what is getting on your shitting tits?
What isn't getting on my shitting tits?
Yeah, I mean, that's normally what Ange and I start with.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, do you know what? I have been racking my brain because it is very hard to choose, isn't it?
It is
very hard. I was talking to Reedy about this at the week. I take this very seriously, girls.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I was going to go political, and then Reedy was like, no, 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 no. We don't
steer away from that.
Although I think the Tories are getting on everyone's shitting tits at the moment, even those people that vote Tory. I think, you know, we're all pissed off with them now. Yeah. So
they're all a bunch
that's
of
about
dicks.
That's about as political as we get here.
That's fine. We'll leave it as that.
Yeah.
But this is like the only thing that, like, and it genuinely is getting on my tits. And it's so random. Snails.
Snails
are getting on my tits.
How?
Okay, for some context. Yes. So right, I've got a new puppy who Rudy met and fell in love with because everyone loves him. He's gorgeous. So he's a 14-week-old cockapoo and he's like a teddy bear, right? He's cute as anything. He's honestly the love of my life. Sorry, Matt, but he is the love of my life.
Yeah, I hear that. I feel that.
Right, but every single night, without fail, the little... Gunt goes into the garden, picks up snails, brings them in. Look, mummy, look what I've got.
What, with his and mouth? He does picks it, them up with his mouth.
Picks them up with his mouth, brings them in. He doesn't chew them or like eat them. He just puts them in his mouth and then and the slime foams in his mouth.
Oh, no.
And then I literally, like, even I'm just talking about it now, and my skin is crawling.
Yeah, but hang on.
I'm not really like the biggest animal lover, like, in the world, really, like, not insects and stuff like that. And he does it on repeat. And so I can't shut the door and I can't not let him out because I'm like, if he needs a wheel.
Yeah, he'll piss with shit on the carpet.
Which he did when Rudy was here, which is so embarrassing.
The funniest thing was that he brought one in and Laura's like, Matt, you've got to come and get this snail. I'm not touching it. So for people that don't know, Laura's husband, Matt, works. He's a pond guy. So he's like used to like cleaning stuff out. He's not fussed about snails, right? So he just comes down, he picks Buddy up, he puts him on their like sofa and he's like, come on, Buddy, come on. Give me the snail, come on. So he gets it out of Buddy's mouth and then instead of just taking it straight outside, he put it on Laura's phone.
He did.
Oh,
Laura I was doing like, my nuts.
Laura, he was holding it in his hand.
He was like, what if it actually fell on your phone though, Laura? And Laura's like, Matt, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Anyway, he just like slowly lets this snail like slither across.
No, he didn't. So he got it and he wiped it like across, like almost like across my, and then he did, like I just say, before Peter like comes at me, like he did then put it outside. But
yeah, he did.
And it
he
was
did.
Fine, unharmed.
He wasn't, you know, the snail was, no snails were harmed.
No snails are harmed in the making of this podcast or in the making of our Chinese friendship.
but Laura was like, I hate you. I can't believe you've done that. But it is interesting, isn't it? Because it was really weird to watch. He does just breathe, and then he just sits and looks at them. He just like watches them.
Yeah. Yeah. Snails.
So he's just got a real fascination with snails.
Yeah. I think it's also maybe like an attention thing, isn't it? I like, he's basically a toddler, isn't he? Yeah. So
you must have loads of. How is he? I mean, are you like overrun with snails?
We are. That's the thing. I don't understand. And I looked up, when does snail season finish?
Do they have seasons?
I don't think so. I think they're around forever.
24/7.
Oh, yeah. No. Which is great. I think it's because we've got a pond in our garden and maybe they love like pond water. I don't know.
No, but ponds would be more like, I mean, our neighbour, Dave. They've got a pond.
Why is that funny?
But it is funny, isn't it? That is funny. Yeah, that is funny. I have actually got a shitting tits though.
Oh, okay.
As Lauren's not here, I've got one to bring.
Okay.
This is going to be quite controversial.
Oh, Pats.
Drum roll.
Yeah. IKEA.
Eh?
IKEA gets on my shitting tits.
Right. Why?
You think...
You were saying to me a couple of weeks ago, you loved IKEA.
Listen. There was an awakening for me. There was an awakening for me, right? It's like, I'm going to IKEA. Amazing. I'm going to get meatballs. Amazing. I love the meatballs. I'm going to get meatballs and gravy. Amazing. Mm. I'm going to get a piece of dime cake. And then you are in there for like 3 minutes and you're like, what the fuck have I done with my life?
Because of the queue. You got a queue.
No, just like the fact you have to walk through the whole, what other shop do you have to walk through every single minute detail of it to get to the tills?
No, you see, this is where our IKEA is actually better.
What?
Because you don't have to do that.
Oh.
No.
You can just go to the CAF. You don't have to go.
If you're buying stuff, you can just go to the cafe in any IKEA. But if you're actually going to buy stuff, you've got to walk through the whole fucking thing.
Yeah,
that is annoying.
You get halfway around, you're like, I don't want to see another bedroom the way you've dressed at IKEA. Mm. I don't need to see another farmhouse kitchen. I don't need to walk through the candles. I don't need to see some shitty wooden bloke that I don't need to put on my dressing. I know why they do it, Ash, but it gets on my shitting tits.
You don't want to see some shitty wooden bloke.
I'm going to be even more controversial here and say that I think IKEA is shit and overrated, like just generally.
Do you know what?
I don't see what the fuss is about. Honestly, the only good thing about it for me personally is the hot dog, the cheap hot dog and ice cream at the end. That is the only reason.
Are you not even a fan of the meatballs?
I've never had the meatballs.
What?
Are they good?
Oh my God.
Do you
have the meatballs?
Could you?
Yeah.
Could we?
The meatballs.
Oh my God, they're so
with the gravy
good.
And the little bit of jelly.
Oh, that jelly. Oh.
Jelly?
Yeah, you get like a little, it's a bit like a sort of cranberry sort of
sauce,
but
it's nicer.
Cranberry jelly. That's what Alex has just told me. And cranberry jelly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and that is amazing.
And the dime, have you never had the dime cake, Laura?
No, but I do always, the only thing I ever buy is the dime bars at the end. But is the dime cake good?
Oh my God, the dime cake is so good.
Is it like a cheesecake or is it a cake?
No, it's like a sponge on the bottom. It's really good.
Okay. I'm not a fan of a dime.
What? I'm not a fan of a dime, but I love a dime cake. Anyway, I think IKEA is... I just think the whole premise... You get in there halfway round, I was like, what am I... I questioned everything about my life.
But what were you going there for, Pats? Because I think, right, you've got it... I think if you're going to IKEA, you have either sort of... You've got to say, I'm either going just for the meatballs or the hot dog, and I'm not even going to entertain the shop. Mm. I'm going in. I'm going to get what I want.
I was supporting a friend who's going through a very difficult time.
Right? No, you can't say that. You can't
well,
say
that's
that.
The truth.
No, you can't.
Truth.
Right?
That is.
Well,
the
then,
truth.
Then you say to that friend who's going through a difficult time, "I really am here to support you, but I'm not coming to you to IKEA." Okay, we can go but somewhere you know else.
What? Your grief is like not big enough for IKEA.
I can't cope with that as well. Okay,
and actually, do you know what? I got halfway around and I was like, I shouldn't have come. No, I should exactly. not have come.
No, I and that's I think where you've gone wrong there.
Okay? Do you know friend what? I went to no IKEA and no I didn't. Friend. I didn't buy a single thing.
Exactly. That's your mistake.
That's your mistake.
You've only got to go to IKEA if you are going to say this is going to be a mammoth 4-hour journey, a 4-hour task. I might pick up a couple of candles and a rug. And that'll be it. But it'll take me 4 hours to do that.
I hear you.
So I think therein is your mistake. So I don't think it's so much the shitting that IKEA is getting on your tits. I think it's that your choices have got
getting
on, your tits.
On my tits. Yeah. That's so, true, actually.
You know, I don't think that we can lay true. That at IKEA's door.
I can and I will. And I have. So screw
I'm
you.
With you, Reedy. I'll Thank back you. You all the way, mate.
Thank you. Thank you. Do you know what we should do, Laura? We should try and recreate the IKEA dime cake.
Okay, all right. Yeah,
let's try. I let's feel like buy one.
This is a series coming on. Like part one, we make the coffee cake. IKEA part cake. Two, IKEA cake.
But you
cake,
know, like they do on MasterChef, where they have to eat something and then they have to recreate
work
it.
Work out what's in it.
Yeah. We buy a slice of dime cake. We eat it. We film ourselves it. Eating it. We're like, what's in this? Oh, okay. Let's go and get the ingredients. Let's not in IKEA. Let's fuck off out of IKEA as soon as we finish that bloody cake. And then we and then we go out, buy the ingredients, and make a dime cake. We're going to move into our more serious segment now. And you touched on a little bit of this before, Laura, but I wondered whether we could talk to you a little bit about kind of body privilege and thin privilege and the way you've sort of navigated the public eye. Because I always think for it's the easiest thing to go for, isn't it? It's the easiest like quip for people to make, and society very quickly puts us into pockets of people, whether you're, you know, big and bubbly or, you know, thin or whatever. And I wondered whether you could talk a little bit about what your journey's been like in terms of your managing of your own understanding of your body, but also around the kind of body privilege that sometimes perhaps people in society aren't aware of, I guess.
Yeah, so I think body privilege is something that not everyone is aware of. And I think it's really important that we talk about it, because it's basically about kind of championing and being sort of supportive of people who are in like the most marginalized body. So like you said about pretty privilege and like body privilege, like they do exist. Like it's not, you know, like it's facts. So if you are, you know, more conventionally attractive, and if you are in a sort of a smaller body that is more kind of considered the beauty standard, then like in that aspect of your life, things are kind of easy for you. As in, like, you've got easier access to clothes. You don't get like fat, you know, fat phobia, fat shaming, and things like healthcare are kind of easier for you. And the more you kind of go up that scale, and the bigger you are, the kind of less access you have to things like healthcare, basic healthcare, even things like public transport, getting on a plane, clothes, for example. You know, some retailers go up to a size 32. If you're above a 32, then you might even have to get your clothes made for you. And I think it's just about being aware of that. So if you are in a smaller body, then it's kind of going, oh, okay, like that's a bit shit for people that are in bigger bodies. Then I think it's about just basically being an ally to them and just being aware of that. And it's not... A lot of people go, oh, well, I'm thin or I'm slim or I'm a size 14, but I've had a really shit life because I was abused and I had this and this and this. It's not an oppression Olympics. It's not like a kind of like, oh, well, my life is, it's not like, oh, let's rate our lives and how shit they are on a scale of 1 to 10. It literally is just that of just going like, some people have it a bit harder than others. And when you, the bigger you are, the harder life can be, like everyday things. And I think that even for me, like I love the theatre, even things like sitting in a theatre seat sometimes really, really painful and uncomfortable. I think like one of the things that I've just really tried to do as I've gotten older is just kind of like having a voice and trying to like, it's really weird. Like, and I talk about this a lot, but I think when you're in a bigger body, you're both like invisible and hyper visible. And it's about like, for me, like it's been a really hard lesson. And I'm honestly still learning. I'm still trying to advocate for myself and to kind of know that I'm allowed to take up space. And it's like, even like, so like me and Lauren, we went to the theatre recently. We saw Legally Blonde and we were like really uncomfortable and like quite crammed in the seats. And we noticed that there were like 4 seats like further up, just like a little bit, not like loads. We weren't obviously trying to be like dodgy or anything. And we were like, do you know what? If no one sits there after the interval, like, should we move there? This was Lauren's suggestion. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I feel like people then will just look at us and judge us and like judge me for going like there's a space in between each of us because we're fat basically. And actually then Lauren said to me, she was like, don't you think you deserve to be comfortable? And I was like, oh my God, you're so mm-hmm. right. But yeah, it's something that I kind of do have to like grapple with. And I think that whole fake it till you make it thing sometimes, like when I'm like on holiday and I'm in a swimming costume and I just think, oh, do you know what, fuck it, I'll never see these people again. Like, yeah, just living life. I don't want to have any regrets, and I do definitely have that philosophy of like I could be dead tomorrow, so yes, I just try and push myself and do things as much as I can.
Don't you think as well, like in terms of the like the body privilege stuff, there's also been this whole like Katie Hopkins was sort of the leader of it, but Piers Morgan, that kind of, it's like, well, you deserve that because you're obviously lazy and you don't look after yourself. Like you deserve to not really fit in society because hopefully it might make you think that you should lose some weight. You know, I remember when Katie Hopkins sort of came out and just branded every fat person on the planet as lazy, and it for me, there's a sort of undercurrent of society doesn't really want me to be comfortable.
Absolutely.
Because they sort of want me to sit there and go, I don't quite fit in this seat. It's a constant reminder that I'm bigger than the person next to me. I don't really deserve to go on holiday. And I think that's the thing that I've been really thinking about when I find myself in like trying to squeeze into a public toilet, or like, you know, just generally being on your period in a bigger body and trying to use a public toilet is a fucking nightmare. Like it's so hard. They're so small. But I think it's this constant reminder for me of like, that sort of plays into this. Well, I don't really deserve to have that comfort or that level of like, because people look at me and think, well, you've done that to yourself. Like you've got yourself there, so you can't fit in a theatre seat. Oh, well, never mind. Doesn't matter. Whereas I could be sat next to somebody who's perhaps wholly more unhealthy than I am. Not that I'm advocating that I'm the healthiest person in the world, but somebody who is just as unhealthy as me, or even has a lifestyle that is even, you know, not as healthy as mine, but because they're thin, they don't have to think about that because they do just fit in that seat. So I think it's like, there's the undercurrent for me of what it reminds us of and how it makes us feel, that even feels even more uncomfortable. And that's why I think that comment from Lauren is so important, because it's about reminding myself I do deserve to be comfortable. Actually, I deserve to be as comfortable as the next person, and I'm gonna make sure I am.
Yeah, and it's easy to think that. Like, I mean, I remember when I was like, I'm talking for 5-10 years ago, I remember really struggling to find clothes, and I was like, well, that's my fault, isn't it? I can't blame anyone because that's my fault. And now, like, as you know, like, I champion all the time about getting retailers to make more clothes, because I'm like, why shouldn't I have access to nice clothes like everyone else? I think, unfortunately, we live in a society that values thinness over health, and that's so important to recognize that it's not about health. You can be thin and you can be really unhealthy, and I actually do think that you can be in a bigger body and be healthy.
Totally.
But no one cares about that, and it is very, very hard to love yourself in a world that doesn't love you back, and the world isn't that accommodating to bigger people. And unfortunately, you do get this rhetoric from people like Piers Morgan, Katie Hopkins, who just really do just fall off a cliff. Katie, thanks. And I think it's really hard, because I think, you know, that whole like thing about, you know, fat people are just lazy, like move more, eat less. Like, if only it were that simple. Like, the reasons why people overeat or are overweight, I don't really like the term overweight, over what weight, like, but you know what I mean? It's so nuanced and it's so complex and complicated. And I just wish there was more empathy and understanding for that, because when you're in a bigger body, you kind of almost, like, you're wearing it. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's why I said about you're hyper visible. Like, you're wearing it. I like, you know, and everyone can almost see it. And for me, I've like lived with, like, there's 100%, like, no like question. I have like disordered eating. I'm an emotional eater. Same. And I've never ever been able to get help for that. You know, the doctors are always like, oh, have you tried Slimming World? Yes, I have. Thank you. Like 18 times. There is literally no, I don't think, any support for people.
There isn't. Like, there's like no us. Psychological support for people who have disordered eating in bigger bodies. And, you know, there's a stat, isn't there? Only 6% of people with eating disorders are underweight. Like, only 6% of people who, I go. And also, we know that things like Slimming World and Weight Watchers actually only, like, make disordered eating worse. It makes us group food groups around, this is a good thing to eat. When people are like, oh, I've been so bad today. It's like food, it's like, it's just an object. Food doesn't have a moral value. Like, you can't look at a chocolate bar and go, that's bad, and look at an apple and go, that's good. It's just food. Like, and yeah. that was a really big thing for me, like having that understanding that there's no more, you know, I shouldn't eat white bread. Like, I should only eat like seeded or wholemeal bread, or I shouldn't have, it's like, it's just food. Stop giving food moral value because it, you don't need to. And of course you can think about what you put in your body, and that's the way I do it. Like, I think about what nourishes me rather than this is a good piece of food or this is a bad piece of food. But also that like intuitive eating of, sometimes when you want to eat something, when you really fancy something, it's best to just go ahead and do it rather than neglecting yourself of it and saying I can't because it's in the bad food group. But yeah, very interesting. Thank you for sharing.
What do you, can I just ask a quick question? What do you think about, like, I've seen a bit recently around sort of very high profile people, actually, the likes of Victoria Beckham, like extending her sizing to accommodate bigger people. And the things I've seen about it are some people going, oh, it's just a tick box. It's because it's now becoming more and more of a thing that people are doing and it's being talked about more. So she's feeling like she's just got to kind of fit that box now. Mm. Or do you think, well, actually, anything that kind of moves that is better than it not happening at all? Like, yeah, I just would be interested to kind of, yeah, know your sort of take on it, really, and your thought on it.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I definitely see it as progress, yes. but I don't think it's perfection.
No.
But I think sometimes we do hold brands to these like impossibly high standards. And like, but that said, like what I would just love to see in, I don't know, 5-10 years time is we don't have these kind of separate plus size curve yes. inspire wanky ranges.
Yeah.
Just make clothes in a size 6 to 36 or 32 if that's what you can do, and just make clothes for everyone. That I just don't like, there are really small independent brands that are doing that and even doing it sustainably as well.
Yeah.
So I really don't feel like there's any like excuse. And no. I think it comes down to the reason, I think, so her range now stops at like a 16, 18.
Yes.
And it's just fat phobia, isn't it? They just don't want to, they don't want bigger people to be associated with yeah. them or wearing their clothes. And yeah. that is what needs to change. Again, it's that focus on thinness other than health. And they don't want that association. I think it's wrong. So I'm happy that she's extended the size in, but like, it's not, I still can't wear it, so I'm not going to be jumping up and down and going, well done, Victoria, you've solved all my problems.
But I suppose it's like you said at the start, you know, it's progress. Like,
yeah,
it's not going to go overnight from one thing to another, is it? It is going to be this progress and this kind of keep on having these conversations until, like you say, hopefully we get to a point where there is no, this is plus size fashion, this is other fashion, it is just, we make clothes and we go from this size to this size, and we want to include everybody, every shape, every size, yeah. and there is no distinguishing from one to the other.
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, fashion should be for everybody.
Exactly, yeah.
Regardless yeah. of size, yes. shape, whatever, yeah. age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, my urban dictionary is scromiting.
Right, we have to try and guess what this is, Laura, by the way.
Scromiting.
Oh,
yes.
My goodness.
Is it something to do with the scrotum?
No, it's not anything to do with the scrotum. No.
Oh,
well, you're thinking, all right, I'm thinking vomit, like vomiting.
Okay, you're on the right.
Oh,
okay.
She's on the right.
Scr- yeah, so it's right. So scromiting.
So what's the scr?
Vom. Mm.
Scary vomiting?
Scr.
No.
Scr. Scr- no. I don't scromiting. Know. You're going to have to tell us.
Okay, right. Scromiting. The act of screaming up vomit.
Oh, that is brilliant.
That is wonderful. So good.
Now, this is the little, like, you know, the sort of
ditty.
Example.
This
comes
is a little ditty.
This is your ditty. I walked in on my parents doing it last week. And
what?
And immediately started scromiting up the dinner my mother had prepared with the very same hands she was preparing my father with.
Oh my God, that is brilliant.
Scromiting, I love that.
Have you ever scromited? Have you ever had a moment of scromiting?
Well, I mean, I don't know if I have actually. I mean, if I think about the whole thing of like, you know, walking in on your parents.
Oh, or, my God.
I mean, that no. I actually think I could, that could scrum it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I sort of think about, like, what if my children walked in on me?
Oh, God, that would induce scrum it as well, the other way. Yeah. Big time.
There'd be scrum it everywhere.
Everyone would be scrummeting the shit out of life, wouldn't they, in that scenario? Yeah.
But I don't know if I have.
I don't think
really
I ever. But scream vomiting, I mean, that is. That is an absolutely brilliant picture.
What a
banger. And we would love to hear from anyone who's had the experience of scromiting.
Yes. Especially when it comes to, like, walking in on, you know, on your parents doing it. Or
how would you feel, though, if you walked in on me? Would that make you scrum
it? I'd scrum it, yeah.
Mm. Would you? Yeah. I think you'd just laugh, wouldn't you?
No, because
it's not different with your siblings.
I don't think you can unsee stuff like that.
Yeah,
can you?
That is true.
Yeah. I did walk in on my parents once, and I was 10, and honestly, it traumatized me for about 2 months.
See. That makes me.
And after it was like 2 month period, my mum actually sat me down and was like, "You've really not been yourself. You've been going to bed early every night. Are you okay? Is everything all right?" I was like, "No, I'm not okay.
I can't get over what I've seen."
God. Yeah. That is so. I've never walked in on mum and dad. Thank
really
God.
No, but I sort of think, you know, if I walked in on, like, Matty, Marty, like,
that's my husband,
pounding away on you.
Oh my God!
That
Holy
is
shit.
Graphic.
That is, you know, that's what it is. That's it is that thing of, like, you walk in and you just got Marty's arse
you
in your face.
Not need to say pounding.
Pounding.
You did not.
That's, that is
you did
what
not
it,
need to say that.
That's what would evoke the scrum it, isn't
scrum it? Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. Go, yeah. Oh, God. And it would just literally be a scream of vomit that would come out, for sure. Yeah.
Well, look, that is a very good urban to end us on.
There we go, guys.
Laura, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you, Laura.
Thank you for having
me. Sorry, Lauren, that I we weren't you. Able Lauren. To have you part of the crew this morning. So,
but you can find both Lauren and Laura on Instagram. Laura is Laura Adlington and Lauren is It's Lauren Smithy. Is that right? Is that her handle?
Yeah. That is right. But I'm Laura.Adlington.
Laura
the dot,
dot
is very important.
The dot.
Laura dot.
And you can find their podcast on Instagram as well, Go Love Yourself, and you can listen to Go Love Yourself wherever you get your podcasts. But thank you so much, Laura, for joining
thank you
us.
So
Laura,
much. I had the best time. I love you both.
Great episode, Angie. Wasn't Laura brilliant?
Oh, what a wonderful human being she is.
So good. She's
so,
just lovely.
So kind and warm.
We just had the best time with her and it was so much fun. We hope you've enjoyed the episode. Remember, you can listen to Go Love Yourself wherever you find your podcasts. You can find Ange and I both on social media. I'm at Ruth Corden. She's at Ange Corden.
And you can find the podcast on Instagram, Facebook and TikTok. Just search Finding the Funny Podcast.
But it'll just be Ange and I next week.
Boring.
We will be back. We will be back next week helping you to find more of the funny.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.